In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want more on what purchased the conversion of St. Paul, remember we spoke about that on the Feast of St. Stephen, that is the 26th of December, our patron. Shared how it is the intercession of one who was dying that indeed earned the graces for this moment of conversion which we celebrate today. Today I want to dwell on something to give you, particularly the ladies who are here, something which we will develop more in depth together with the men. Ananias. How does Ananias begin his story today? What's going on in his heart? Ananias is a great man of devout prayer, of orison, who gave his life over to God in a devout way and knew so much about what was going on within his world. You could liken him to maybe some of you who maybe follow the blog posts of the day, who know exactly what's going on in the broader church, not just what is happening in the parish or within the city or the diocese, but what is going on in the whole of the church, particularly at its highest seat. Ananias, if you are like him, he was one who was clued into all the happenings of the church. He knew who Saul was. He knew exactly what he was coming there for. He knew that he had received specifically papers to do a particular thing, to round up all those who were there in order to make sure that they who professed Christ would be destroyed, men and women alike. Here's a question for you. St. Ananias, as he was clued into everything that was going on in the broader church, how did that serve him? What good did that do him? How was that helpful for him? What did it do for Ananias to spur him on to deeper prayer and following of God? We can infer from your silence that that's what it did. Nothing. It did nothing good. It did evil. Because what does he do? Take on the attitude that he was speaking with God. Remember, he's receiving a vision right now. How many of you are close to God where you often receive visions? So much so that when God speaks back to you, that it doesn't surprise you. Maybe you shouldn't raise your hands if that's the case, but probably not many of you, I would gather. Yet Ananias was not surprised at receiving the presence of God. He was not alarmed that God spoke back to him. That probably belies that he had a deep, personal, intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he was a man who thought that he could inform God about something. Hey God, are you sure you're right about this, is what he says. Are you sure you understand who it is that you're talking about? Just in case you don't know, God, let me enlighten you a bit, you who are light from light. And so he spoke to the Lord. He said, Lord, this Saul, I know his backstory. He's the one who's persecuting us. Did you know that? Did you know that he's the one who has come all the way here for one purpose, to round us all up, to take us away, anybody who would preach your name? Did you not know, Lord, that he was the one who received papers from the authorities in Jerusalem in order to destroy us for that very cause, so that nobody within the secular rulers would be able to stop him, saying that he had your authority to do this? Lord, do you not realize how this is a bad idea? Because if I restore him to sight, then he's just going to keep on doing what it is that he's doing. You obviously, God, don't understand the man that you're dealing with. St. Ananias was paying attention to all the current news of the time, all the gossips that were going on. What good did it do him? It didn't do him any good. It actually caused him to sin in arguing with God in this way, to turn his heart away from God, to resist what God wished him to do. We probably don't have the accurate translation of everything that happened in there. I would assume that Ananias edited out the parts where God slapped him upside the head and make sure that he knew who was boss. Because that's probably in there. As men, we need that from time to time. And so we see our Lord deal gently with Ananias. It says, no, Ananias, you're the one. You don't understand what I'm about. This is one, he reasons, who I have chosen. He has become, quote, a vessel of election. A vessel of election. And he is the one who will go and prophesy to who I am before the Gentiles, which is that first. Then to kings, and then to nations. And he says to my people Israel to proclaim my name, that many will come and to follow me. Go and heal him, that he might receive the Spirit. And he tells him something very interesting, which should have been encouraging to Ananias. I'm going to tell him exactly what he must suffer for my name. Ananias thought he understood what was going on because he was listening to all the whisperings that were going on in the church at large, which served him not well, but God understood what he was doing. Ananias would have been served better to keep his mind focused solely upon God and been like Our Lady and did what? Only said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Be done to me whatever it is that you want, because you're the one in charge. You know best." Ananias eventually did go on the way, and see how quickly he converted his heart. He had a conflict with his brother in this way. He hated his brother. And when God set him aright, what did he do? He immediately put his own personal desires aside, and he became the cause of the conversion of the one who converted the greater part of the world. Something for you and I to focus on. We think we need to know a whole lot of things, and we think that knowing a whole lot of things really serves us really well, when all we need to do is to pay attention to Christ. Pay attention to him in prayer, just keep our focus upon him so that whatever it is that he speaks to us, to build up that relationship with him so that we can have an intimate relationship so that when God calls us to do something, we hear him. And instead of trying to reason with God and saying, "That can't be right, maybe you don't understand what's going on," I can just say, "Yes, I'll do it. I'll do it quickly." But even if you and I aren't at that place where Ananias was, maybe we're falling into the same faults that he is and sticking our nose into things that maybe would be served better not to stick our nose in. Maybe we can be a little bit more like St. Ananias. That as soon as God smacks us upside the head and tells us what his plan is, then instead of further trying to reason with him and to fight it, to be the one who we ourselves are kicking against the goad, like St. Paul before his conversion, that we can set aside our prejudices, our thoughts, the way that we think that people should be treated because of the way they've been treating others, and then be the instrument of conversion for others within our lives. That's the way that our Lord desires us to work. And so wherever you may find yourself upon that path today, there's plenty of places where each of us probably fall. To ask our Lord for the greater conversion, that what our Lord ultimately desires from us, even if we fight it at first because we're not focusing on what God would have us focus on, that when he brings us back to our senses, we might actually do the good thing which the Lord has called us to do and see what great work can happen if we just say yes to God even belatedly, how it might have an effect for the conversion, not merely maybe of one soul, but that would be enough. But it may indeed have a greater conversion effect for those whom that soul will bring to conversion as well, like a St. Paul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.